Dennis. I appreciate that. Take your Bible, open it to the book of Romans this morning, and look forward to the entire week. Romans chapter 7, and while you're turning there, I want to say thank you to Brother Nash for inviting us back. I mean this with all my heart, God knowing our hearts, that I feel like I'm at home here. And you folks have made that. But let me tell you, that comes by good leadership. And I know that over the years. And you got a great preacher and preacher's wife, family. Yeah, I guess I can include them boys. So, but anyways, and we'll get to say more about that. I've got about 30 minutes in Sunday school this morning. I want to get into it. I saw the preacher in the breakfast area back there about using the term elementary when it comes to the teaching and preaching of the Word. We hear so many things over and over and over again, and it seems like it's just elementary. But then I told him that God convicted my heart. I didn't tell him that, but I said, but God had convicted my heart. I told him, I said, I got to a point where there's nothing elementary about the Word of God. And that is that sometimes we need to be reminded about some things. I've really prayed about this week, and I want this week not just to be another meeting. I want this week to be something that literally changes your way of thinking spiritually. And I want this week to be something where maybe God is calling on you to be a full-time servant or to be a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker, etc., etc. And this is the week that God will seal that in your own heart and mind. And if you do that, you're going to grow. And I love your theme, Rooted and Grounded. There's so many different tributaries from that, and that's probably the most known verse, and we may even say a few things about that this week as well. But I want to read this to you, and I want you to listen to me carefully, because I think we miss this sometimes. If you're in here and you're a young Christian, you need to know this, no doubt. If you're an older Christian, you need to be reminded of it again and again in your life, and that is this. That we have a body that contains the Spirit of God, but we also have a body that contains the flesh. And during the week, you're going to hear different messages, different scriptures, and we want to be prepared for that. I'm not saying you haven't prayed. I'm not saying you haven't prepared for this week, and I trust that you have, because that's where God's going to get the glory. But I want you to be able to individually be prepared for this week. I'm telling you right now, as we walked in here this morning, we're fellowshipping, laughing, cutting up, having a good time, and that's just the way Miss Audie and I are, that in so doing, I got news for you. There's somebody here this morning that none of us like, and it's called the devil. Satan is here this morning. I don't know if he's sitting next to you, and I'm not talking about your wives, guys. Maybe talk about your husbands, but Satan is here this morning, and listen to what I'm about to tell you. He doesn't want you to get anything. He doesn't want you to learn a thing. He doesn't want you to be reminded of anything. But we're going to endeavor by the power of the Holy Ghost to allow that to happen. That's why I want to set kind of a precedent this morning for that. So whether you're young or a brand new Christian or young Christian or older Christian, either by the time you got saved or even by your age, if you will, this is a message for all of us. Now, you can call it a lot of things. I'm calling it the battle within. It's a battlefield. There's a battlefield going. I don't care if you're a man of God and a preacher. There is a battlefield going on in our hearts and our minds today. And it's hitting us square in the face. Hitting us as we watch things on the news, as we see things around our world, our nation for that matter. And the devil is at work in a rapid form because he knows. Listen to me. He knows, just like you know, he just knows in a different manner. You and I know by the blood of Christ that our time here is short. And so if he can destroy your life, if he can get you off track, if he can get you just to go to church and not learn, and you're under a man, and I've been around him enough to know, you're under a man that knows the Bible from front of the cover to the end of the cover. And so take advantage of that here. And I could say a lot more things, but I see his head already swelling. So I want to move forward, if you will. And I'll say more about it, but real quick before I get started, and that is that, where's he at? There, Brother Thompson. We had a great time with him and his wife down at Capitol Hill and the different places they carried us. And I could stay down there. Y'all been there, I'm sure, many times, but I could stay down there all year long, going from one place to the other. I love history. I love our country. And it was just a blessing to be there. I'm a veteran, Vietnam veteran, and proud of it, by the way. And so, anyways, all those things. But I want you to listen to me. I'm going to read Romans 7 in just a moment. I want you to listen to this statement. When we think about life, and we think about our spirit, and we think about our flesh, as far as the spirit is concerned, there are standards of conduct that you and I are required of God to live by. And in so doing, the devil knows it as well. And so he's going to do everything he can to tear it down. The more sanctified you and I become in the Lord, and by the way, we were sanctified, I believe in progressive sanctification after we get saved, but you were sanctified when you were born again. But the more sanctified that a man or a woman becomes, the more they will acknowledge the wretchedness of their own heart. Yes. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
That's a little blunt, but it's the truth. And not all of us in here, and maybe you do. Maybe you were born into the kingdom of God. You've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you've had nothing but good thoughts since then. If you have that, you've never had a bad thought, negative thought, fleshly thought, I want to talk to you. Because you and I need to get together and write a book, amen? But listen to me. I'm telling you something that is so serious here, and I hope to get as much in as I can help you with. But we got preachers falling out of the pulpits today. I'm talking about with gross sins. We got people of God who used to be on fire for God, lit up for God, that are falling apart. Their marriages are falling apart. And hear me, that's not God. That's your stinking flesh. That's the devil. That's Satan out there. That's the things he puts in front of us. And you probably don't want me to get started on all the whole list, and I'm trying not to do that. But there's so many things that just right here. And I'm not against social media, but you got to be very careful with social media.
Yes, sir.
It's destroying families. It's destroying churches. And we got to be careful about that. So, having said just that little part right there, take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 7, a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us here this morning. And the Apostle Paul is writing. The Apostle Paul is speaking here in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. He says, "Well, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am," what's that next word? This is the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary outside of the Lord Jesus himself. Now watch. He said, "For I am carnal, sold under sin." And I know you're not going to understand this any more than I have after 40 years of ministry. But it says here, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Y'all got that figured out? Okay. Well, it gets cleared up here. If then, verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but," what's that next word?
Sin.
"That what?
Well.
In who?" So in other words, you and I this morning, born again children of God, still have this old ugly flesh that's holding on. And you know what it does, and I can't go because of time, but it controls this. Amen.
Yes.
"Set no wicked thing before mine," what? And listen to me, I don't want to get into the old-fashioned preaching too much, especially Sunday school, but it's out there, and if we're not careful and we're not in this, we're going to be in some serious trouble. And you got to be careful. You got to be careful about what your eyes see, what your ears hear, etc., because it can ruin the best of Christians. I've seen it over and over, and it's a sad, sad note. Look a little bit farther here. He said in verse 18, "For I know that in me," that is in my what? "Dwelleth no good thing." Y'all hear that? So in other words, in your flesh that's still attached to you until what? Till the rapture. Get that new body, amen? I'm looking forward to that. I don't have to run anymore. I don't have to walk anymore. You know, and can't run anyways anymore, but think of it. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present." I want to be right in the direct will of God. I want to do what God has required me to do by the Word of God, what God's directed me to do by the Spirit of God. That's my desire. And he says here, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." In other words, what he's saying is here, and he needs you to hear it, is I'm not a perfect man. I can become perfect in Christ Jesus. We have what? Choices to make. And these choices are sometime not just daily. These choices are sometime momentarily. In other words, at a moment's notice, we have to guard things in our life. And if we don't, then the devil just gets another step forward and another step forward to drag you out of the will of God for your life. And that's the ugliness of the flesh. But we'll see something here in a moment. Verse number 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, listen to me carefully, and I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can. Everyone in here this morning knows there is a constant fight in our life of faith as children of God to live righteously and to live holy, which both are required by God, by faith in this world in which we live today. It doesn't matter whether you've been born in the days of Abraham or today, we are all to live the same way before God. We need to always fight what we call the good fight of faith. We find that, and we'll read one of those in a moment. But I wrote this down. It's not always easy to be a Christian. Now, let me explain. If you never do anything for God but just go to church, it probably isn't so hard. But if you're involved in ministry, a Sunday school class, a bus ministry, or serving in some area of the church, and you're witnessing and you're sharing the gospel, and et cetera, I promise you the devil's right here. And he's right here. And he doesn't want you to do any of that. And you have to make that choice. You have to get that thought out of your mind. And you can do that just through, you know, you can just drop your head wherever you are and say, Lord, the devil's bothered me. Rebuke him. Get him out of here. And you'd be surprised when you connect with God. And by the way, this is going on in your life and my life every single day. But it's not easy being today about anything or anybody. You get attacked from everywhere. And I think we're seeing that in our government today. The economy here is in a downspin, even though Trump says it's in an upspin. I don't know. It hasn't got to my city yet. Okay, maybe in yours. But there's always something working against us. We have, all of us in here have some form of a mortgage payment, car payments, health insurance, groceries, et cetera, children to take care of, so many other issues there. And then the devil knows that as well. He is at your home. He is at your church. He is on your job. He is at recreation. He's everywhere. But then if you're born again, so is God. And you got to be cognizant of that in a more serious manner. You can't just say, well, I'm a Christian. You've got to be very cognizant of that. You've got to be very alert to that because that's your only avenue of defeating Satan. There's two of you. Two of you right here this morning. And don't look around. It's not your weight. Unless it's sinful weight. Hebrews 12:1 talks about that. But if you're a child of God in here this morning, have truly been born again, you have a desire to obey God and honor God with your life. To do that, you have to be as serious a Christian as you can be. I will say this, the world will not like you much. It never liked the Lord. Jesus said they'd hate you as they hated him. You'll be looked upon as rude, prude, spoiled sport, who doesn't want to enjoy any kind of life or sow your wild oats. You'll be called all sorts of names like homophobic, bigot, Bible thumper, holy roller, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Got a whole list here. That's not too bad when you consider being a Christian in some countries has become downright dangerous. You can be in prison. You can have your home burned down. You can have your head chopped off. Your wife could be raped. Your children could be sold into slavery, and et cetera. Or you can experience other types of persecution that are around us. That's happening in many parts of the Middle East and other countries. But there's a Fox News alert. All that's going on over there, and I love Fox News, but we'll call it a Fox News alert real quick. And I wrote this down. It's coming to America sooner than you think.
Yes, sir.
It's already here. And I don't want to. Listen, everybody needs to be born again. I don't care where they come from. I really don't. We talk about the kids at and the wall and everything, and I'm for that. But hear me, if they get over, they need the gospel.
Yes.
Are you listening? God, for God so loved the
world.
So we've got to guard against becoming more racist. We've got to guard against becoming more isolated, if you will. Everybody needs to be born again. If we're going to have the nation that God created us to be and stay there, which, by the way, we're drifting from, then we've got to fight the devil daily, hourly, moment at a moment's notice, if you will. Now, one day, you and I are either going to stand up and validate our Christianity at a time most needed, or we won't. I thought about that. I thought of this a long time ago, but I thought about the young lady in Colorado years ago, the Columbine High School shooting. You'll remember it well. And they've used it in different stories or whatever, where the young lady, when they said, "Are you a Christian?" she said, "Yeah," and they blew her face off, killed her instantly right there. Now, I don't want you to be killed. I don't want you to be dead. But that's the kind of boldness we need today. That's the kind of thing that we need, to stand up against the devil, knowing we're on the winning side, and to stand up against wickedness and evil in our country. But the devil's going to use many things in this world today to allure you by way of various temptations, away from the Word of God, away from Christ, away from righteousness, if you will. And somebody might say, well, just how does he do that? And I mentioned some of it already. The media, social media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The basic sins of our lives and nature that's been around from the beginning of time, and then we add things along the way. You can have bad television, wrong movies, all the old things we used to preach against that'll fill your heart, your ears, your eyes with garbage. You know, the old saying is garbage in, garbage out. So as much as we take in that we ought not take in, it's here. It's in your flesh. This week, let's get it out. This week, let's just let God do His work. And everyone in here, born again, washed the blood of the Lamb, we need a cleansing. Amen. We need a cleansing. We need a cleansing of our heart. We need to renew our relationship with God. Amen. We need to strengthen that relationship with God, whatever it is. You know, and we can sit here and list a whole list of things, but Bible reading. If you're not reading your Bible on a regular basis, you are bait for the devil.
Yes, sir.
My wife is on her second time through the Bible this year. I'm a little bit behind that. But anyways, she reminds me of that all the time. But the thing is, that's our defense, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God.
Yes.
And so, having said that, there is a battle going on in your life and my life, even as we sit here this morning. Now, I want to give you some scriptures. You'll just bear with me just a moment. And I want you to look at them with me and enjoy them with me. Take your Bible, go over to... Well, let's just go to Romans chapter 6 to start with. And this is what I would call a shotgun Sunday school. I don't have point one, point two like I normally do, but I wanted to get this thought across. I want you to be ready tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, to receive from God what He has, to get rid of stuff that God doesn't need in your life and replace it with what He has given to you and I to be successful in. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, you know it well. Watch it very carefully. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin, that the body of sin might be what?
Destroyed.
That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. I got news for you. You're going to read it in a moment. Sin hath no more dominion over you. It's a choice. All right? Now watch here in verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon. Didn't know a Texan could write in the Bible, did you? Likewise, reckon you also, ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead indeed. Everybody understand that? Christian, look up here. I don't know your life. Your preacher probably doesn't know your life. He may be counseling with somebody. I don't know. But God knows us inside and out.
Yes.
He knows if we're here all dressed up and just looking good on Sunday at church, or if He knows if we're really the real thing.
Yes.
Genuine, if you will.
And
if you have been genuinely born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have received Christ as your Savior, you have repented, I believe in repentance, you have repented of your sin, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received Him, you have a brand new life that is able to defeat any sin or Satan when he comes against you. You have all of that to defeat him. So it comes back down to what I said in the beginning, choice. Comes back down to what I said in the beginning. It's a battlefield. It is a day. It's going to be a battlefield to the day you hear the trump of God.
Yes.
And the closer you get to the trump of God, that battle is going to enlarge itself. Okay? And so you need to remember that, especially going into revival. And I don't mean this. I think your people are ready. I know you. I know you've prepared them. But I want you to know I've been in churches and preached, and they were no more ready for revival than anything. And the reason for that is that there was nothing done ahead of time just to get up and have guy come and preach and somebody new, somebody fresh or whatever from another place. And I don't want that this week. I'm not your pastor, but I want to stand in that place for a few messages to bring you to a place where your life is the light of the world, as God has told us, salt of the earth, as God has told us to be, and that you have come to a place where you realize what the flesh is, what sin is, and you defeat it immediately when it comes into your ear, your eye, however the contact is made, so that it doesn't get a hold of you. And don't tell me it doesn't happen. When you pastor 30 years and on staff before that, you see it almost. Today, listen to me. Today, literally, it's almost weekly. Well, where's so-and-so? Well, where did she go? Where did he go? Where's that young teenager surrendered to God? Where are they at? Every bit of it's not because you're such a bad person. It's because you listen to the wrong person. You listen to the devil. You listen to your flesh instead of listening to God and listening to the Word of God. And that's the choice. That's the battle that is constantly going on in your life and my life. Read a little bit farther here. It says, let's just go to verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That's your flesh. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. That doesn't mean the members of the church. Look up here. That's your hands. That's your ear. That's your mind. That's your tongue. That's your feet. All the different things that you could serve God with. Notice again. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Total. Completely. As those that are alive and the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Does everybody read that in your King James Bible? It cannot have dominion over you, hear me, unless you allow it.
Yes.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants, that's the choice right there. To whom you yield yourselves servants, to whom you to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I don't know about you, I think I'll choose righteousness. I like living the Christian life. I lived the other life before I got saved. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. When I got saved, old things passed away, all things become new. I hope that was true in your life. And I know there's some people never done things before, but before I got saved, I smoked. Before I got saved, being a Vietnam veteran, I drank a lot, brought it home. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
But that's gone. That's gone. In fact, it was almost gone before I got saved, but after that, I had everything I needed to defeat the flesh. I had everything I needed to defeat the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And I still do to this day. Look just a little farther. Watch this. In verse number, let's see. Verse 17, drop down. But God be thankful that you were servants of sin. Past in. You were. You're born again now. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, watch this. Drop down. Let me get down here without reading the entire thing here. Yeah, verse 19. Just drop it there. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness before you got saved, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, right now, being born again, watch it now, yield your members servants to righteousness and holiness. Now, look up here. I gave everything I had to the devil. Are y'all listening to me? I mean everything. I gave it all. I gave my mind, my feet, my ears, my hands, everything. And so did you, if you be honest with yourself. But then when I got born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I was given all this hope and began to grow in the scriptures and so forth, I began to give everything to God. Now, I know everybody has different responsibilities in your life. Some of you have a job. You work 40, 50 hours a week. Some of you are involved in education, etc. But everywhere you are, you have an opportunity to live for God. You may not have an opportunity in some places to be vocal about it, but you have an opportunity to be seen. Okay? And you heard it. You may be the only Bible somebody reads someday, and your life will depict that, how you hold yourself and respond to others, etc. And you've got to be in the Spirit of God. So turn to Galatians 5 quickly. Galatians chapter 5. These are scriptures. When I mentioned elementary earlier because I knew you'd say, well, I've seen those. You know, a lot of times we say we've seen those, heard those, but what are we doing with them? Not so elementary there, is it? Look here, you know this. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, question right here. Are we walking in the Spirit this morning? Are we prepared to receive from God what He has for us this week? You know, revival should not have to be a meeting every week, every year. And I'm for it. You know, I get to put groceries on the table when I go home. But now look up here. It ought to be our life.
Yes, sir.
We ought to live in a spirit of revival. And I think many of you are, or at least you're putting on a good show if you're not. Because being around here, I'm already excited about it.
Amen.
I'm serious.
Amen.
I really got excited last night over the doggies home. I mean, my goodness, 42 kids. It's exciting. I even got to see chickens, I got to see rabbits, I got to see all of that. And they, just a good time with them as well. And I felt like I was with Christian folk.
Amen.
And I feel like I am this week, but we all can improve on our spirit. All right? I got about 4 or 5 minutes here, and listen to this. Let me just read to you. I hope everyone understands that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, right? Remember this scripture? 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. Y'all hear that? I like Romans chapter 8. We are more than conquerors. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Why? Because He died on Calvary. He was buried, but He rose again on that third day. I have life forevermore after trusting Him, so I'm more than a conqueror. You ought to leave here today saying in your own heart, you know what, times are not real easy right now, and I mentioned that earlier, they just always something in our, going against us, but and the devil, no doubt. But we're overcomers, more than conquerors. And it says here, whatsoever born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Faith. If you are living your life as you should be, that faith is growing and it's strengthening. And when it does, it will remind you of the fight that you're in. It'll remind you of those things you need to do to maintain your righteous living and holy life. The total victory comes from God. Look down at verse number. Go back to Romans real quick. I want you to look at this. Actually, stay in Galatians. I want you to look at this and see it going back. Look at Galatians chapter 2. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I have many. 66 books of many. But look here at Galatians 2. You know it well. You can quote it. I am crucified with Christ. Which, by the way, ought to be a thing we do daily. A good friend of mine, pastor for many years, Dr. Bob Smith, said when you get up in the morning, you ought to crucify the flesh. Anew and fresh. Every day. He said, because during the night, the devil's giving you, trying to revive your flesh. Are y'all with me? He said, well, how do you know? I don't know. Have you ever had any bad dreams? I'm telling you. It works that way. The devil is not the spirit of God, but he has got a spirit. You don't see him walking around unless he's in one of you. You see him through that which has been revealed to you about him through the Word of God. Look at Galatians 2:20 again. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I love this. But Christ liveth in me. How many of you say, say amen?
Amen.
Christ living in you right now. Y'all believe the Bible, say amen.
Amen.
He's in you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in you. Holy Spirit, God the Father, all forever. Watch this. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, present tense, right now, this morning, in the flesh, I live by the what? Of who?
Son of God.
The Son of God. So I don't even have to, if we capture that, I don't have to get up every day and face life on my own. Inside is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and I live by the faith of the Son of God who died. What? Look at the rest of this, because this reminds us. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it goes on to talk about frustrating the grace of God. Hear me well. We have everything that we need to live in the spirit of revival, holiness, and righteousness. And the thing about it is, well, then why do we mess up? Because you're not listening to the right person all the time. We listen to that which is on the outside that we can touch with our hands and see with our eyes and hear with our ears. When we ought to be, listen, there's a scripture reference in the Bible, and if you can't find it, your pastor or pastor wife or somebody help you find it, there's a scripture reference in the Bible for everything you go through.
Amen.
That deals with your personal life.
Yes.
Now, folks, listen to me. We're not going to have a good revival until we understand there's going to be a battle going on this week. There's going to be a fight going on. Go over to 1 Timothy, and I'll finish there. 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. These are some of my favorite letters. I got so many messages out of these. And watch this. You go up to verse 6. 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That would mess up a bunch of us right there. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. I've never had to deal with the rich. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. I like this. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, which by the way is the flesh matter, they have erred from the what? Faith. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God. Now he's a child of God, but he's a man of God. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, here it is, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. That ought to be a desire of every one of us, every day of our life. And then this is where it gets really good. Verse 12, fight. It's a fight, ladies and gentlemen. There's a battle going on. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the man who wrote these letters, you've got to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 8. Actually, a little before that, verse 7. I fought a good fight. Paul is speaking from the prison there in Rome. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Look up here. I'm done. Look up here. What a powerful statement. And yet you read back in Romans 7 that he battled with the flesh every day. And if you read the bottom of that, Revelation 7, the only victory he had was in Christ. But here he says, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Can we say that this morning? You know what it is? It's choices.
Yes.
Choices that we make every day of our life. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He's coming. He's coming soon. I kind of wish he'd come before this week was out. Because I'm tired of this old world. I'm tired of the flesh. I battle it just like you do. Your preacher battles it just like you do. And the only victory that any of us have is right here.
Amen.
Here, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Understand this week, when the message has come across and there's something in there you know you're not doing or shouldn't be doing, etc., etc., conviction sets in, don't you listen to the flesh. Don't you listen to the devil whispering in your ear. I said last thing, I'm done. You remember them old cartoons years ago? Some of you that are my age or a little bit young, y'all remember where them old cartoons and the old devil would show up on one shoulder and the angel would show up on the other shoulder? Y'all remember that? Hear me. You never knew how real it was as a kid. But that's exactly what's happening. God's in you. The devil's outside of you. But through the flesh, he can manipulate you. And you need to be so very careful. We're going to have a great week this week.
Amen.
Amen. And the more you amen, the shorter it gets.
Amen.